What are you saying?
I say he'll flip you.
He'll what?
Flip you. Flip you for real.
Yeah, I'm shaking. Come on.
Okay.
Answer my question.
And you hit me in the back. Hello?
This podcast may contain horse language. Listener discretion is advised. Listen up, everybody. Get ready for the pod that rocks your bod. It's now time for the FlixMax podcast. Here are your hosts and two true flyers, Scott and Terrence.
Hello there, and welcome to FlixMax. I am one of your co-hosts, Terrence.
Hello, Terrence. How are you? I would be great. Scott.
You're Scott?
I'm Scott.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Scott. I'm Scottish.
You're the Scott that I've been doing this podcast with for the better part of 3 years now.
I think so. I don't think I've changed. I haven't been substituted.
You look a little different.
It's because I'm naked.
Oh.
Or I'm clothed, and that's why.
That's what it is.
Yes.
So thank you for joining us today. We are recording this podcast on the very first National Day for Truth and Reconciliation here in Canada. So yes. It's a special day, I guess. I didn't get the day off, but...
Oh, it's new. Like, it just came about within the last
couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have to get into what it's about, I'm sure.
Those who know, know.
Yeah. So, this is season 4, episode 5, and it's, I wouldn't say it's a special episode because they're all very special.
Yes. It's because I get to spend time with you. That's what makes it special.
Even if it's just over a screen.
Yes.
We can't hold hands or touch.
No. But I can think about it.
As I'm sure you do.
I do, even when we're not on the podcast.
So I guess what should we talk about first, Scott?
Well, let's talk about what the because we've got this new format. So what is the theme of today's episode? What is our main segment gonna be? We can talk about
well, that. This is something that you have.
Yes.
You suggested that this episode's list be our favorite end of world movies.
Yes.
So that's like a broad spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Could be any genre, but it has to have something to do with the end of the world.
Yeah.
So, but we'll talk about that a little later on.
Yes, we will. So I guess, we might as well start where we've been starting, and that's checking up on each other's personal challenge or personal goals to see if we were able to accomplish them or not. So for 2 weeks, you have not been able to reach your goal of watching the, I think, 1981 Brian De Palma movie, Body Double. And so you changed course and went for another Brian De Palma movie called Black Dahlia. So I'm going to assume that you've finally been able to meet your goal. Now, am I correct in thinking that?
You should probably do your research before you assume anything.
Damn it.
Because I have not been able to get to that goal either this week.
Son of a
bitch. Because I couldn't find my copy. Then I couldn't find it streaming anywhere. So I say Brian De Palma can go to hell. I blame Jesus. And I'm just going to set a new goal this week.
Okay. So we'll get to your new goal once we discuss if I've succeeded my goal.
Hey, Scott, have you succeeded on your goal?
Well, you know what? I'm a good boy. So yes, I did. And so my goal was to watch a Spielberg directed film that I had yet to see. And so my list was only 7 movies long to choose from. And that included The Sugarland Express, 1941, Hook, Amistad.
You've never seen Hook?
I've never seen Hook.
Holy shit.
Amistad, War Horse, Lincoln, and the BFG. And I went with Lincoln.
Oh, and how did you enjoy that five-hour masterpiece?
It's not quite. It's half that length. Actually, exactly half that length. And I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis deservingly won the Academy Award. I thought he was phenomenal. It's got a stellar cast, like up and down. Like we spoke about it about last week of people wanting to work with Tarantino just because of, you know, what they think of him and they'll take any part. The same is with Spielberg. People just want to work with Spielberg because there's,
I don't know.
You don't? What?
Nope.
Because there's these parts, 3 parts that were supporting that showed up intermittently in the movie of these 3 guys that were trying to lobby for votes for Lincoln to vote for the 13th Amendment. And they're played by 3 great character actors, just coming out, James Spader, John Hawks, and Tim Blake Nelson. So it's like these real supporting characters, but you get these high level character actors and they're just, you know, spread out throughout the movie. Just it's an all-star cast, and yeah, it was an interesting tale.
Daniel Day-Lewis could play one of those inflatable windsock flippy floppy puppet things and win an Academy Award.
Yes,
wouldn't even have to speak, just stand there and wave his arms around like this.
For
only
everyone.
You could see, only I could see that.
And I had a look, and Daniel Day-Lewis has only been like 20 features, something like that. Like not even like a huge amount. And he's been nominated for Best Actor 5 times and won 3 of those. Like that's gotta be the highest percentage. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good for him.
You're crazy.
Yes. And now he's retired. So
he's not acting anymore.
No, I think he announced that Phantom Thread was going to be his last movie. So unless somebody coaxes him out of retirement, yeah, he's not doing anything else right now. So there.
I could think of a lot of other actors I'd want to retire before Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I guess he's got nothing else to prove. So he's got no other accents to do.
He hasn't played a windsock puppet.
It's true, but maybe his desire to do that isn't as strong as you think it might be.
What a pussy. So what's going to be your next goal?
Well, my next goal, all the goals I've had so far have been, Spielberg thing narrowed it down a little bit. They've been pretty broad. So I wanted to pick an exact movie to watch, like you've been doing, like pick a specific movie. But I couldn't think of one on my own, so I just found a random movie generator online and decided I will do the first movie that I haven't seen that I have access to. And so
I like that. Sorry. I like that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So, you know, as happenstance would have it, with us doing this thing being the end of the world pictures this week, the first movie that actually popped up was Armageddon. So, you know, I've seen Armageddon. And so, and then it followed with Fifth Element. So still Bruce Willis, then 8 Mile, then Last Crusade, then Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, then Fifth Element again, then Scarface, then Forrest Gump. And it's like, okay, I've seen all those. And then the next one was Armageddon again, which it would be if I did watch Forrest Gump. And it was that time when I decided I'm going to change generators and found a different one. The first one that came up was Dance Academy 2. And, you know, I'm not going to watch that because I haven't seen the first one. So I'd just be lost.
You don't want to.
So that's fair. Yeah. And the next one was obviously just a flat out objection. It was one of those straight to Netflix Adam Sandler produced Kevin James movies about him being some sort of international assassin. And I had no interest in that. That wasn't going to happen. It's not that podcast anymore. We've changed things. Then came up a movie called The Hive, which was a low budget horror movie released by The Nerdist, but I didn't have access to it, so I didn't bother with that. So we kept going, and I finally landed on the 1945 whodunit, and then there were none, based on an Agatha Christie novel. That the novel is known as, and then there will be none here in North America. In the UK, it's known as 10 Little Indians, because it's based on the old nursery rhyme or whatever, the 10 Little Indians. One little, yeah. Two little, three little, right? And
yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you know how it is. And so, yeah, that's the one I'm going to watch. So it's available on Amazon Prime. So I will partake in that. Hmm. So there.
I like this random generator thing.
Mm-hmm. So have you made a decision for your next challenge?
Well, I am going to pitch myself a
tent,
a slow pitch, something I can hit out of the park, no problem.
Right. Now, are you doing a specific or going to give yourself a range?
Specific, and okay. it's a movie and its sequel.
Oh, okay.
It's available on Shudder, which I have resubscribed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to watch Phantasm 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. You're going
to
do
because a double. I'm going to keep this Halloween style,
right?
For the month.
Well, I mean, I'm doing a whodunit, so I mean, a suspense thriller could count in the whole Halloween type thing.
You're reaching now.
You're reaching. I'll give you something to reach for. So, are you doing two just to make up for the fact that you haven't met your challenge, or you figure you'll just watch both anyways?
No, I'm doing one mm-hmm. because it's great.
Yeah.
And I'm doing two because I've never seen it.
Oh, really? I actually prefer number two to number one.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. And They're not very long movies at all.
No.
So I can put them on and watch them and could be and enjoy. Such a loser.
Yes. Yes. And disappoint you every week.
Well, I'm not only disappointing you, I'm disappointing the 7 or 8 listeners.
I know. I mean, they're on pins and needles wondering when you're finally going to accomplish this.
I know. I'm sure your parents are really concerned of when yes, I'm going to watch a Brian De Palma film.
Yes. Which I think at least they've seen one of them. I know for a fact they've seen Body Double. So.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Yes.
So yeah, that's the challenge portion the challenge. Of this podcast.
So we'll move on to Pick of the Pod. No, actually, no, it's not yet. No, Pick of the Pod.
We do Pick of the Pod last.
Oh my God, I'm jumping the gun. I am so sorry. So I guess we move on to our main feature, which is, you know, end of the world movies. Now, I don't have any specific order to these. Yeah,
neither do I.
Yeah. So I've got way more than I should. So I might edit some of these, and especially if you're talking about it, then I'll just, you know, piggyback on you and then talk about
ten,
it.
I have 10 exactly that we can talk about.
Okay. I think I got a 10 or 11. So yeah, we'll probably have some overlap because it's a fairly, I don't know what you did, but it's fine. I tried to do things that were about the impending or recent end of the world and not like something that happened. Like some sort of dystopian future where people are living in existence, where society is broken down and all that kind of stuff. I didn't pick any of those. I picked ones where, yeah, the end of the world is imminent.
I picked a couple of those. Well, only one, I guess. Yeah, only one.
Okay.
Or two, maybe.
Or 14. You picked 14, didn't you?
Yes.
You picked if it had any combination of the words Roland and Emmerich, you probably picked it.
See, I want to start this by saying I do not care for fucking
natural disaster movies, shit right. like Day After Tomorrow, Armageddon,
2012.
I'll even put Independence Day in that shit. Like I have,
yeah.
I have no desire for big blockbuster Hollywood disaster movies.
Now,
I think they are so. I just don't. I don't.
Well, it's more of a here's an event. Here are some known landmarks. Let's figure out a way how to destroy them.
Yeah, and here's a Hollywood hotshot star.
Yeah.
He's going to figure out how to fly a helicopter for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, he's going to drive a speedboat through a tidal wave going through the middle of Los Angeles. Like, piss off.
Now, are you referring to...
I'm referring to every Dwayne Johnson movie ever made.
See, the thing is, I was going to ask, now, when it comes to your disaster movies, are you thinking of global disasters or more... Or does that include isolated disasters too? Like I'm thinking you're referring to San Andreas with The Rock. Like are you including all of them or just the global ones?
In my rant, I am including every Hollywood disaster movie. Like The Day After Tomorrow, I was kind of excited to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it in the theater because it came out in 2003? Something like that, 2004?
I think so, yeah, because it came out on DVD when I was still working at the video rental place.
So, and I watched it and I was like, what the F is this garbage?
Well, you can see and outrun freezing cold.
Yeah.
You can see the cold coming. Yeah.
And the wolves, just throw in wolves.
Yeah. Well, you know, freezing cold make wolves go batshit crazy.
Yeah,
no, that's a known fact. So
but
it's one of my favorite movies to ever have to rent to somebody though. When I worked in that store, especially when it became a 2-day rental, because I got to say The Day After Tomorrow is due back The Day After Tomorrow, and that was my favorite thing to say.
Well, hey,
it was clever.
We all need something to look forward to.
It got a chuckle every time I said it. Maybe all three times I said it. That I remembered to say it.
So yeah, that's you won't find any of that shit.
Yeah, on no, here. You don't. Actually, I think you might find one of those on mine.
Like there's some Hollywood movies on here, but there are also good shit. Yeah. So
yeah. Okay. All so right. Why after that rant, why don't you show us an example of what you are talking about?
In the immortal words of Michael Stipe, it's the end of the world and we know it. FlixMax brings to you the list. This episode, the guys share their favorite end of days movies.
Like I said, I have 10. I'll keep it brief.
Okay.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
That was on my short list, but I cut it off. But yeah.
The one from the 70s, obviously.
Yes, 78 with
Donald Sutherland, Jeff Goldblum.
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, it's a good sci-fi movie. It's entertaining. The acting's good. Like Donald Sutherland in the 70s was, you know, he was the shit. And it's just a good alien, good time movie.
Yes, and it's been, well, that was a remake and it's been remade, I don't know how many times since.
15 or 30.
I think but aliens replacing people with lookalikes and you don't know if they're aliens or not. And then they snatch the body and put them in, they become pods and then they attack people. Okay. Well, I'm going to start off with one that again, I think this was probably one of the more fringe ones because it was, you didn't know if it was the end of the world or if the end of the world had happened or whether or not it was somebody just beats paranoia. And I picked 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Good choice. Which,
you know, it's a great claustrophobic, isolated thriller, paranoia. Like John Goodman, like kills it as he normally does. Like, he normally doesn't play like a villain, but he is scary in this movie. And it's, I mean, they retconned it to be a Cloverfield movie by tacking on that ending. I mean, if you remove the Cloverfield element, it's still, it's a great paranoid end of,
yep,
possible end of the world thriller. And yeah, it's a really tense movie.
Yep, agreed. So this one is probably the only end of the world aftermath type shit.
Right.
Fury Road, Mad Max.
Okay.
That's balls to the wall. It's 2 hours of just, it goes from one action to another action to,
it's about three or four long car chase scenes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so well directed and executed, and very little CGI. Like, just the big sandstorm, that's the CGI, but all those are practical stunts, all the driving, yeah, everything. Yeah, it's a phenomenal movie. Yeah.
And it gave us Furiosa, who's getting her own movie, I believe.
A prequel, yes. Yeah. So, but with what's her face? Anya Taylor.
Yeah.
Face. I can't remember her last. Anya Taylor.
Joy.
Joy Taylor. It's not Face?
No.
No. No.
It's not Face. Okay. Joy Face.
Joy Face. Okay. I was close.
And just the whole thing with, you know, people being blood bags for the, what are they called? The Rippers? No. That's from.
Are you thinking of Jesse and the Rippers?
I'm thinking of Waterworld. Isn't that the Rippers?
Are they the Reapers?
I don't know.
But I think. I think you might be thinking of Jesse and the Rippers from Full House.
That's probably what I think about most days.
Yes.
So yeah, Fury Road. I just think it's not really. I guess it's a look at what the world would be like if it kind of ended. I don't know.
Right.
Where water is basically like, you know.
Yeah, like coveted.
Hot commodity.
Yeah. Okay. So this one might be I think this one's probably my only big special effects laden disaster type movie. And it came out like last year. And that's it's Greenland. With Gerard Butler.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's just your typical, you know, here comes a comet heading that's going to be like an extinction level event. Everyone's trying to get to Greenland because they've prepared and made some sort of bunker there for people to live. And of course, you know, the comet is preceded with a bunch of smaller ones, so you see them hitting all over the world. But again, we talked about this last week when we were talking about Cop Shop. It's something about Gerard Butler that really elevates.
He's amazing.
This crap, you know, it's yeah, he brings it to another level and makes it believable. And yeah, I mean,
look at the Has Fallen series. Like, fuck, that shit is not believable. But then you put Gerard Butler in it.
Yeah.
100%, I'm behind it.
Yeah. I'm behind it. Yeah. So I think that's my only one. But it's again, yeah, it's overly cheesy. And yes, totally inspired by the movies we talked about before, the Roland Emmerich movies. But it was fun.
Yes, sir. Oh, is it my turn?
It is.
So my next one is the 2007 movie Sunshine.
That is on my list, so yeah.
Where the sun is dying and some astronauts are sent up to kind of hit it with nuclear fission bomb?
Yeah.
To try and kickstart the sun, Danny Boyle. Cillian Murphy is awesome. Rose Byrne is awesome. Captain America, Captain America is great. Mm-hmm.
That's a good cast.
Yeah. Like, this is the type of science fiction that I enjoy.
Yes.
The most, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just, I didn't see it in the theater. I didn't see it until about 3 years after it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, it's a thinking action movie too. Like it has some intelligence behind it, right? So
I like movies where there's like a sort of isolation, kind of like Alien, you know, where it's like isolated. I don't know if that makes sense, but
like, there's also a more sense of tension and urgency when you're on your spaceship, right? Because so many things can go wrong, and you're so danger is so imminent from anything at any time, right? So yeah, there's the stakes are higher.
I like spaceships.
Spaceships, they're nice. Right. So I'm going to move to another spaceship one, and I'm going to move to Interstellar, which is about obviously the impending, where you know a new dust bowl is going to come and wipe out all the vegetation. So scientists are working on a plan in order to move people off the Earth in order to create, you know, the second Earth. And then there's wormholes and time travel and all that kind of stuff. And it's Christopher Nolan, so it's incredibly dense and incredibly thought-provoking. And again, stellar cast. And yeah, it's you need to watch it a couple times to pick out the clues and really understand the science that's going into it. But it's a extremely entertaining film.
I've never seen it.
You son of a, that's what I said.
But I know Matthew McConaughey takes his Lincoln up into space.
Yes, I think he does.
And
he does. And it aids him on his adventure.
Did you say AIDS?
I did say AIDS. Oh. Well, I'm not talking about Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, because,
no, no.
Okay.
Okay.
So my next one is Shaun of the Dead. I don't know if this is on your list.
No, this one is not.
As far as comedies go, it's very clever. I don't know if it's end of the world or whatever, but it's zombies, obviously.
Zombie apocalypse. I mean, depending on how many people are affected, it could be, you know, end of life as we know it kind of thing.
Yeah. And this is one of those movies that, you know, everybody knows it. Everybody's seen it for the most part, I think. And yeah, it's just funny, and Edgar Wright, yeah, was this like his first big one that he did?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And obviously he's done like the, what is the trilogy called?
The Cornetto.
Yeah, the Cornetto. But yeah, it's enjoyable. It's one of the better zombie movies. You know, I'm not a big fan of zombie movies, but
yeah, no, and it's when it comes to zombies, if you're going to do a zombie movie, you have to try to think of a new angle to tell it at. Otherwise, it's just, you're just rehashing the same thing over and over. So for me, I'm going to, this would be a companion piece to yours, and I'm going to do the last one of that trilogy and do The World's End.
Yes.
You know, just it's, I would think this is probably the weakest of the three, but it's still pretty good, right? I think I put Hot Fuzz first, and then Shaun of the Dead, and then
Hot Fuzz is my favorite of the three as well.
But this one's great. You know, the thing is about this one is that they don't know it's the end of the world. Like, you don't even know that the end of the world is coming, right? But I mean, obviously by the title, it's hinting at it. But it's just these guys doing a big pub crawl, and the last pub they're going to is the World's End, and
World's End, yeah.
And you know, they're going back to their hometown, and again, it's like body snatchers. All these people have been replaced by robots, and but yeah, no, and you know, things ensue, and then and there's blue blood everywhere, and yeah,
and blue balls,
and what,
and
then yeah, it leads to the end of the world because they decide not to comply with the alien race that's, you know, trying to teach them how to, you know, that they're superior and you should give in and be with us. And like, no, I think they say something like jog on, like, you know, that's kind of thing. And so then, yeah, the alien race just leaves and all technology and everything else goes with them. And yeah, pretty much creates a dystopian world.
I like that.
Yes. And that's all right. It.
So my next one is, no list would be complete without a Michael Shannon film, because he's one of the best.
Yes.
I'm sure this is probably on your list. Take Shelter.
It is.
His performance is brilliant.
Yes.
Basically, he has apocalyptic visions. He becomes obsessed with building like a end of the world shelter,
type
thing. And
you don't know what
I don't understand how this movie didn't get more acclaim
and
more popularity. Like, it's because
you're not great.
It's well written.
Yeah. Yeah, great performance. It's an early Jessica Chastain performance. This is came out like the year that she was like in five things all of a sudden, was just huge. This is another great paranoia one, because you don't know whether or not his visions are real, like whether he is actually predicting this end of times, and so whether or not he needs to protect his family from this end of times, or whether or not he thinks he might be actually crazy and needs to protect his family from himself, and yes. the struggle that he has, and people trying, whether they believe him or not. And he is so good at just having this blind rage, but then at the same time having it so tempered and controlled and sympathy. And yeah, he's amazing.
He's great at being like a normal guy, but with an air of like, I don't know about this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's great at playing like kind of menacing dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that this one needed it, but
no.
Take Shelter.
Yes.
Everyone.
Take note of Take Shelter.
Take Shelter from Zod.
Yes. I will find him. I will continue and we'll change pace a little bit. And I actually watched this just yesterday or the day before. And this is, I watched last night. I didn't watch it last night. The movie is called Last Night. And this is...
Is that Chinese one?
No, this is a Canadian one. This is a McKellar directed one, where he directed and starred in. I remember when this came out, it came out the same year as Armageddon. And Roger Ebert held this up against Armageddon and said, look, this is how Americans behave when it's the end of the world, and this is the way Canadians behave when it's the end of the world. And the Canadians are much more contemplative, and some are out there doing the riots and just being dicks or whatever, but most of them are trying to come up with plans for themselves of how they're going to spend the end of the world, what they want to accomplish before this. You're never really told. You assume it's a comet, but they never actually say it. So people have some goals to do before it ends, where they spend some time with family. One guy, played by Calum Keith Rennie, his goal is just to have as much sex as possible, but different kinds of sex he hasn't had, whether it's certain locations he's never had sex before, certain types of people he's never had sex before, different ways of sex he's never experienced. And so he's just racking off all these different things that he can do.
Like, he's whacking off?
Yes. I'm sure that could be one of them. It's much more thoughtful and less chaotic than you see with all these other big budget ones. It's very simple and touching. Sandra Oh was in it as well. David Cronenberg is in it. He plays like the head of this gas company. He spends like the first half of the movie just going through an alphabetical list of calling all the clients that he has. This is, hi, this is such and such from the gas company. We hope that you are spending time with your loved ones at this terrible time, and we promise to keep the gas on as long as we can, and all that kind of stuff. It's just him going through the same motions. And it's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
That's the beautiful thing about Canadian movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, full-on Canadian directed, produced, acted.
Yeah.
You're never going to get Armageddon. You're never going to get that type of shit.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Sarah Pauley is in it as well. So if you want to know, throw another Canadian actress in there. I can't remember just because we just talked about, you know, do a little segue here. Talk about Sandra Oh. Did I ever tell you a story about my connection with Sandra Oh?
Oh God, no.
Back in 1989, I was living in Ottawa.
Okay.
And this was the summer before I entered grade 9. And my sister and her
friend... Wait a minute. Is this a coming of age story?
Yes. Yeah. I made out with Sandra Oh. No. And my sister and her friend were going to what was going to be my high school to audition for a new TV series that CTV was going to air.
Degrassi?
No. And I decided to tag along because I wanted to see my high school before I went there. So I thought, okay, I'll audition as well. But anyways, you know, we all went through auditions. Nothing happened or whatever. It was for a TV series called Denim Blues, which was definitely a ripoff of Degrassi. You know,
that sounds like an Elvis Presley.
Yes.
GI movie.
Like it was, you know, the, you know, like a melancholic teenage type set high school drama that, yeah, it was on, you know, CTV's answer to CBC's Degrassi. And like, it didn't
last. One of my all time favorite TV shows, by yes. the way, everyone.
So my segue is that Sandra Oh, this was like her first big thing. I was in the school probably at the same time that she was auditioning for this, and she got a part on the show. So I have that kind of connection.
So she from Ottawa?
She's from like a neighboring city or part of the greater. Like she's from a city called Nepean, which is part of Greater Ottawa.
Oh, yeah. I know
Greater Ottawa. I think that's yeah. And so she was there. I think it only aired like 9 episodes, and I happened to catch it on TV back when you would actually channel surf, which you don't really do anymore because you just look at the guide. And I caught it. And the one thing I caught was the scene I actually auditioned for. And that's the only thing I saw of the thing. And I'm like, oh, I see why I didn't get that part. You know, because I was like 14 or whatever. And this guy looks like he's 30 playing the character I auditioned for. So that's probably why I didn't get the part. So, yeah. So there's a little, you know, small world connection I have with a Golden Globe and Emmy Award winning Sandra Oh.
Well, look at you.
Yes. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That is a real coming of age story.
Yes. So now back to the list.
Is it my turn or
your turn? It's your turn because it was my movie, right? So I talked about mine. So now it's
your
turn.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So my next one is Terminator 2. I was going to pick Terminator, but that's not, you don't really get the whole end of the world thing from Terminator.
There's not the nuclear explosion as there is in part two.
But Terminator 2, basically the fate of the world is in the hands of android or whatever he is.
Yes.
Young Edward Furlong.
And terrible performance.
And a crazy Sarah Connor.
Yes.
It's just a great movie. It was like, I think it kind of changed like blockbusters, you know what I mean? If you haven't seen Terminator 2, I don't know what you're doing, but like it's basically they're trying to stop the end of the world, and it kind of foreshadows like, you know, what happens when the machines take over and Skynet becomes self-aware and blah blah blah. And there's a lot of shitty acting in this movie. Edward Furlong, ugh.
Yeah.
Like you could have rubbed two sticks together and you would have got better like dialogue between the two sticks than him and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I think anyways. But if you take Edward Furlong out of that movie, replace him with another child actor
of the time, like the late Jonathan Brandis, per se.
Yeah. I think the movie would have been almost perfect.
Yes.
Robert Patrick as the
assassin sent back in time to stop the Terminator. One of the best villains of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he'll always be, nobody really knows his name, but he'll be that dude from, he'll be T-1000.
Now, did he play that part better in Terminator 2 or in Wayne's World 2?
I think they're both powerful.
Yeah. So you've expressed what you think of people who haven't watched Terminator 2. Like, what are you doing? What do you think about people who haven't seen Terminator Dark Fate?
I can't really say because I haven't watched the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I got about 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not good at all. I think I got up to the point where they showed up at the Terminator's house.
Yeah, I wouldn't know where it is. I haven't seen it. So
you
know, I saw Genesis and was disappointed with that because, you know, Phil Collins was nowhere to be seen. So
wait, which one am I thinking of? Genesis. Who's in that one?
That's the one with Jason Clark and Emilia Clarke.
Oh yeah, that one's bad too.
Yeah.
That's the big switcheroo at the end, right?
Yes.
The big reveal or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. No, this one's parts. You know, Dark Fate is the one with the female Terminator. I think Mackenzie Davis. I think plays that part. Yeah.
And that's the one.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's one where Schwarzenegger comes back, right?
Yeah.
Dark Fate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks.
Okay. All right. So my next one is another alien impending end of the world thing, and that's Edge of Tomorrow.
Little Tom Cruise action.
Little Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt action, and Bill Paxton action. I love, I don't know, if it's done right, I love time loop movies, right? And I'm going to just see the same situation done in a different way, and then just repeating the action.
Happy Death Day?
Yes, Happy Death Day, Groundhog Day. This is a well-executed, fun movie. And things with time travel, time loop movies, they have to be cleverly written in order to make it believable. You have to have like pristine things in order to make sure all the plot holes or whatever are covered so you can try to see it from every angle. And it works here. And it's I think they've greenlit a sequel. And so, I'd be looking forward to that. But this is an entertaining one.
Yes.
Or sorry, for other people, for whatever reason, might know it as Live, Die, Repeat, because it got reissued as that movie, not Edge of Tomorrow. So.
All right. Mm-hmm. So my next one is a more recent one, A Quiet Place. Just really good science fiction. Jim Krasinski, like, as far as a debut.
John
Krasinski, yeah, sorry.
Not
as far, as far as like, I'm thinking Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
As far as like directing debuts, like, you don't do much better than that.
Mm.
And like, hey, aliens have landed. They've taken over. Let's throw in the caveat that you can't make a sound because that's how they find you.
Yes.
So just like gritty, and let's just throw in a scene where somebody steps on a nail.
Oh, and has to give birth.
Yeah.
And be quiet. Like, yes.
The aliens are believable. Like, it's just pretty, it's a cool movie, you know?
Yep.
And that final scene where the mother and the daughter discover how to kill these things.
Yeah.
Like, then they're like, okay, we got this.
You know
what I mean? Like, it's just satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And the sequel is not too bad. Not as good, but not too bad.
Mm-hmm. So I will continue with, this one again, another one where they're not expecting the end of the world, but people behind the scenes are preparing to avoid the end of the world.
I know where this is going.
And this is Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Which is, it's a fantastic horror movie on its own. Got some great comedy. It uses all the tropes you find in horror movies, but there's reasons for it, because it's showing the people behind the scenes manipulating things in order to make these cliches plausible and useful. And just some clever twists. And, you know, at the end, whether in the elevator going down, and you see all the different things that could have come up and killed them with all those glass cubes and stuff. And then when all those people get all those creatures get released at the end, it's just a blood fest. And it does end, sorry, spoiler alert, it does end with the end of the world. And it's so good. I mean, people behind the scenes at work that are working for, you know, the ones below, Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins, their banter back and forth is so good. It's so funny. And yeah, this is like a really refreshing movie. Like it was a nice fresh take on the genre.
And Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
I agree 100%. Like it goes from one, like it goes from a total cliche horror movie.
Yeah.
To basically a horror movie that makes fun of every horror movie cliche.
Yeah.
But in a fucking ridiculous, balls out,
and
crazy way.
And uses it to its advantage and does it better than the other horror movies. Oh, kind of like.
And once you say, oh, okay, what is every horror movie thing you can possibly think of? We can put it in this movie because now it all makes sense.
Yes.
A giant cobra, werewolves, ghosts, like, you know.
Yeah. And it's similar. I mean, we touched on this movie earlier, but it's not part of our list. It's similar in vain to like Hot Fuzz, where it makes fun of all these different action movies. And then the second half, it utilizes those cliches to an upper level to those other movies and just uses them. And yeah, so it's the same thing with this, with their horror. They take the cliches, turn them on end, and say, yeah, this is how you're supposed to do it. And yeah, it's a great movie. I've seen it.
And Richard Jenkins should be in every movie.
Yes, he should be.
If nobody knows who Richard Jenkins is, he's the dad in Step Brothers.
And that other one, you know, that TV series, 6 Feet Under.
Oh yeah, he's the dad in 6 Feet Under too.
Yeah.
I guess he would be the conscience, the family's conscience or whatever.
Yes. So yeah, so that's another pick of mine.
That's a good one. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
So my next one is Dawn of the Dead. The original 78. I remember my mother rented this movie probably I was maybe 7 or 8. And me and my brother watched it. And that was, I don't know. It was something to behold as a young boy. And just the way they kind of take refuge in this mall.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's great for extended period of time.
Yeah.
And then these zombies that have been kind of amassing around get in and all hell breaks loose. And it's, you know, obviously a sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But takes it a whole step further. Like, I think if you're going to pinpoint a zombie movie that kind of, you know, inspired every kind of zombie movie, you know, I think Dawn of the Dead is probably it.
Yes.
And you can
you can get more of it watching now than certainly I did when I was younger, because you get the social commentary that it's getting about, you
know,
the zombie society and stuff, going to the mall and all that. You're just repetition that these zombies, even though they're dead, they still have that instinct to, oh, we're going to go to the mall. We're going to go hang out. And that's just you know, just what, and, you know, society, you know,
who wouldn't want to be trapped in a mall for a couple of days? Like, fuck, be cool. And you know, I'm not a big zombie guy, but yes, you know, this is one of them that's, and the sequel is good too, or the remake is good too.
Yeah, the remake is good. Yeah.
It's just a little more Hollywood,
but it was good because it stuck with the practical effects and didn't go all CGI. Yeah. So okay, so my next one is, I'm going to assume this is on your list, but I mean, End of the World is in the title or whatever, and this is the end.
That is,
yeah,
one of my remaining two.
And again, this is just an all-star comedy cast. Everyone playing, you know, an augmented version of themselves, caught up in the end of the world. And it is raunchy. It is violent. It is funny. Like, it is like, like Michael Cera doing cocaine and getting blown in the bathroom. I mean, come on.
That whole party scene at the beginning, like,
yeah,
when he says to, is he talking to Jay Baruchel? He's like, yeah, come on in, sweetie.
Yeah.
Like, come. Yeah. I had a whole new respect for Michael Cera.
And he gets slapped by Rihanna because he's hitting on her and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Open hand. Yeah. Right, palm right to the face.
Yeah. And, you know, Channing Tatum playing Danny McBride's sex slave. I mean, like, it's got some great, great stuff in it. Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, and it's got like all of the, you know,
all the Apatow people, right?
Yeah, like Aziz Ansari's in it for a bit. Like Hermione, when she just beats the shit out of those guys.
Yeah, and robs them. Yeah. Yeah. Emma Watson. Yeah, it's some good cameos. And it's a fun movie. Yeah, I saw it at the theater. Yeah, and it was.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was
good. I went on a date and it was a good time. It was fun. But, it got dark. There was some spots that got dark, but.
Yes.
But yeah, the whole, when Channing Tatum shows up and he's all in bondage and shit.
Yes.
He has some of the best cameos in like modern movies.
Yes.
It's pretty good. So yeah, that was one of my last two. So I guess I'll just go with my last one here.
Okay.
So I kind of, like, I'm going to use two movies here.
Okay.
One is Cloverfield.
Yes.
And one is, 13 Cloverfield Lane?
Or 10.
Or 10 Cloverfield Lane. Yeah. They're kind of two separate movies that only really tie in because of story, right?
Yeah.
Like the first Cloverfield, as far as like, you know, self-shot footage.
Found footage type stuff.
Found footage. Like, it's pretty scary, and they do a good job. And like, I was watching some kind of documentary the other day, and was it the writer or the director said the monster that's attacking New York, it's New York, right?
Yeah. Pretty sure, yeah.
Is only a baby, one of these monsters. So that the monster's freaky.
If I remember correctly, because I think I've only seen it once, there are little monsters that fall off the monster too. He's like shedding little monsters as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it comes out of nowhere. Like, nobody's expecting this because it comes from under the ocean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And 10 Cloverfield Lane, like, it's a great sub story to like the whole thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And John Goodman, like, Jesus Christ, like, he named something bad that he's been in, you know, or name something that he is bad in.
Yeah. Yes. Like, he's probably been in some movies that are subpar, but he's he's always good in them.
And yeah, it's just like I said, I love like claustrophobic type shit. That stuff is scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're locked in somewhere and you don't really have anywhere to go. So your only course of action is to like fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're both good movies that kind of tie in. So I just thought I'd say both. Okay. I did not care for the third sequel that came direct to Netflix.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. Cloverfield Paradox or whatever.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
No John Goodman.
Well, I think he got put into acid or whatever in
the, yes.
So I don't think he could make
it. He was melted.
Yeah. So my next one, my final one is again a more subtle one. This is more of a almost seems like a feel-good comedy, romantic comedy, and that's Seeking a Friend for the End of the World with Steve Carell and Keira Knightley.
Yes.
You know, they've again, comet coming down, everyone's been alerted. Steve Carell's wife leaves them at the last moment, so he decides to go on a road trip to try to rekindle with his old high school flame. And Keira Knightley is a neighbor of his who's going through a tough patch, and so she joins him on the road trip, and then they just have these different little adventures together and meet all this weird cast of characters that, you know, they run into like Gillian Jacobs and JT Miller and or TJ Miller and
VJT Miller.
Yes. And William Peterson plays this truck driver that's just bonkers. It's great cameo. And you know, it's a really touching ending, and it's a good movie. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I've never seen it.
Yep.
I know I have a Blu-ray of it because I think I got it for free at our old work.
Right.
So I think it was an E1 movie, wasn't it?
It was an E1 movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have it.
I've only seen it once, but it had like it really resonated with me and had, you know, lasting impact. And yeah, it's a sweet movie. And when I say sweet, I don't mean, oh yeah, sweet. No, it's sweet. It's just a nice movie. So there.
Sweet, hey?
Yes.
That was now, a sweet little commentary. I don't mean like sweet, bro.
You mean like sweet, like bitter, like just a nice.
I mean like tasty.
Yum, tasty. Yum, yum. Mm. Now, I want to talk about a movie that could be on this list, but isn't, because it hasn't come out yet. There's a movie coming out on Netflix, I think by the end of the year, called Don't Look Up. And it is a Adam McKay written, directed movie. It's a comedy, drama, action kind of thing.
The same Adam McKay that did Ricky Bobby?
Yes.
Oh.
So, I mean, obviously he's come to more heavier material with Big Short and Vice. And this continues along that line. But this has a crazy cast. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet, Kate Blanchett, Melanie Lynskey, Jonah Hill, Meryl Streep, Ron Perlman, Michael Chiklis, and it just goes on and on. And it's about these two low-level scientists who are like traveling the country trying to tell people and warn people of this comet that is coming. But with social media and everything else, there's misinformation and deniers and all that kind of stuff. And it looks like it's could be quite fun. So. Mm.
All right. Mm. All right. Mm. So basically we're putting future movies on our list now.
I would just assume, just based on the pedigree of the movie and who's in it, that this movie would be on my list. Because I don't think I've seen an Adam McKay movie I have disliked, so I just assume it would be in there. It would be of the same caliber. So,
all right,
so, cool. Yes,
I don't have any future movies I want to add.
Fuck you then.
But yeah, that's our list for this week.
Yes.
So is it
time now for Pick of the Pod?
Now it's time for Pick of the Pod.
Okay, I was a little bit early. Okay.
Hey everybody,
Quiet down, please. These two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's pick of the pod.
All right. Do you want to talk about your pick of the pod first?
Sure, why not? I watched this within the last week. It might not be the best thing I watched in the last week, but it was fun. And it's called Knights of Badassdom.
Oh, yeah, the one with Dinklage?
Yes. Yeah, it's got...
and Ryan Quantane and...
Ryan Quantane, Steve Zahn, Jimmy Simpson, one of the McBoyles.
Yes.
Summer Glau, Peter Dinklage, Danny Pudi. It's basically about LARPing, and they find this old book, and they accidentally summon a demon during this session of LARP. It's basically kind of like a combination of, you know, key parts of Role Models and
one of my favorites,
and it's like Deathgasm, that kind of thing. And okay. There are parallels with Role Models, because Role Models has a major influence with metal music, with Kiss being involved, and this one relies on a lot of metal music because they use metal to defeat the demon at the end. I guess the equivalent of the Ken Jeon character in Role Models. There's a guy here who's King, and his character name is King Diamond, which is a heavy reference to the metal world.
King Diamond, yeah.
Yep. It's silly, it's cheesy, but it was entertaining enough. So that's my pick. It's another E1 movie, so
I enjoy that one as well. I saw it a while back though.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my pick of the pod is, if you have four and plus hours to kill, there is a documentary on Shudder,
mm-hmm,
called In Search of Darkness.
Yes.
A journey into iconic 80s horror.
Now, if you have 9 hours, you could watch the sequel as well.
I started the sequel last night. I got about 45 minutes into it and fell asleep. It digs a little deeper.
Right.
Like the first one goes into more standard, mm-hmm, type horror movies, and it goes from 80, 81, 82, like it goes in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually got quite a few, horror type people to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a sucker for this type of thing. Like
any sort of documentary compilation,
Terror in the Isles type shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crystal Lake Memoirs.
Yeah.
This is Nightmares the stuff
and
we,
Red, White, and Blue.
Yeah. This is the type of stuff that we grew up on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've probably heard all these little tidbits and trivias a million times, but I just put it on, kind of had it in the background, and got into it and watched the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those movies too that obviously is just full of nostalgia, but all it does is it clutters up my need to watch list, because it reminds me of so many great movies or movies I haven't seen. I'm like, oh shit, how have I not watched that yet? Or, oh, I need to watch that again. And yeah, it's just so many great memories watching it.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I, you know, got the idea to watch Phantasm and Phantasm 2. But there's so many movies I could have picked off that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second one I started watching yesterday, it's more like there's some video nasties in there and more giallo type movies and,
mm-hmm,
more kind of like under the radar, like Alligator, that type of shit. Oh, I love
Alligator. Alligator's awesome.
But I'm going to finish watching that one too. I love shit like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and especially for horror, because it's such a niche thing, right? And
yeah, the same production company or filmmakers are making one for sci-fi as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, it's the same vein, going to be looking at sci-fi. It's going to be an extensive, long documentary like the other ones as well. So
yeah. So that's my pick of the pod. So if you have a lot of time on your hands, go to Shudder and watch In Search of Darkness.
No.
Oh.
So I guess that wraps things up. The only thing we have to do, and I don't know if you've prepared for this because it is your turn. What is the theme for next week?
I don't know. I haven't really given it much thought. I'd like to do something a little Halloween themed, maybe.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions?
Not off the top of my head, but I mean, we've got a number of episodes to go before we're actually closer to Halloween. So, I mean, we don't necessarily have to do a Halloween one just yet.
Why don't we surprise everybody and not announce what the list is going to be?
Oh, okay.
Let's just say that it's going to be a list. It's going to have movies or TV shows on it.
That and the audience have probably heard of.
There's going to be a theme.
There'll be some sort of like a reveal that people are unaware of in regards to the theme and the titles within it. So,
and it might be spooky, scary.
Oh, like one of those things.
Well, where, like a werewolf bar mitzvah.
Okay. Yeah. Where boys were becoming men and men becoming wolves.
Yes.
Okay.
Spooky, scary.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, since I was ill prepared.
Yes.
We're going to leave the list as a big surprise.
Surprising you were ill-compared. You didn't have time to watch your challenge. You didn't have time to think of a theme.
Well, some of us have 9-to-5 jobs still.
Oh, well, you can lick my chode.
You've got a big surprise coming to you. So yeah, okay, I guess that's it. That's it.
On that note, yeah. Is there anything else you want to touch on or discuss?
Did the Jays win tonight?
No, they the game just ended and they lost 6-2. So they are one game back of the second wild card because Boston lost and Seattle was stagnant tonight. So they are tied for the second, and so Jays are one game behind both of them. So,
So
Jays have to play Baltimore, which obviously they just play Boston tough. I think Boston is playing the Nationals, the Yankees are playing Tampa Bay, and then the Mariners are playing the Angels. So it could be anybody's.
I think Washington's tougher than they are on paper.
Yeah.
I think they're a tougher out than the Orioles. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
We'll see. But it's obviously you would like to see Jays in a better position because now they have to make up a game instead of holding on to a game. So we'll see what happens.
They got to win out, I think. Yep.
And hope that at least one of the teams above them loses at least one. So. And then they can at least make a tie for the second last wildcard place and have to have a playoff before they have a playoff, before they start the playoffs.
Oh.
Yes.
So three playoffs.
Well, because, you know, the wildcard game is just one game before you actually go into the series.
Yeah, it's so like a play-in game, right?
Yeah. So if they're tied for the second one, then they have to play to see who actually plays in the wildcard game and then win that one. And then they can go play in the next series.
I think the play-in should be a best of three.
Yeah. Best of 18.
Is that possible?
Yeah, why not? And then if they tie 9-9, they have to have another best of 18 to see who gets in.
Oh, that is not the way it works.
No? Okay.
No. All right. Well, that's enough baseball talk.
Yes. On the movie baseball podcast.
Yes.
Yep.
It's it's fun. It's real fun times over here.
Yeah.
So for FlixMax, I am Terrence.
And I would be Scott. Until next time, toodles.